Hello again, everyone. I'm Brian Roush at WCUCI in Savannah. He's Jim Taylor at WRMJ in Aledo. And we're Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio. And we're going to talk about the coaching profession today, Jim, as you have a very interesting story to share. Sometimes success doesn't guarantee job security, and sometimes great programs have some underlying currents. And there's a story that you want to share with us about a coach who did everything correct on the field, and maybe some of the off-the-field stuff caught up to him.
Well, and that's, we talk about this profession is so subjective. And the headline was in the Bleacher Report, and this was from in early December. I wanted to bring this up several shows ago, but we had some other things to talk about. The title, and I'll post a link on the site, What's Acceptable? High School Coaches Ask After New Jersey Colleagues Ouster. And I think a lot of this has to do with, you know, the old school mentality of coaching, you know, maybe that gruff style, maybe loud, maybe a yeller, things of that nature. So it boils down to, you know, how subjective is this profession, and the evaluation of the profession by the administration and the school board, the rehiring process. And I guess the thing that I look at, Brian, that I liked about the story, and it was at the very end, and it talked about multi-year contract for coaches. Now, I'm not going to go crazy here and say you give a high school coach a 10-year contract, a 5-year contract, but I think a contract of 2 years or 3 years maybe is something that I would be supportive of. Now, you can fire a coach for just cause, you know, if they're being abusive to players, things of that nature, but to give them a little more security, as I've talked to you about before, the only thing a coach is guaranteed in Illinois is the previous year they coached. That's it. There's no guarantee beyond that, and I always say there should be maybe a little more guaranteed than that in this profession.
Yeah, I would say that would make sense. And as far as the parameters, I think those have changed as far as coaching behavior. And obviously we don't want any kind of physical abuse out there of players or such. But I just think that maybe we've gone across the center line a little too far the other way, where we're ultra-sensitive about criticism, and we're ultra-sensitive about, you know, coaches' appearances or whatever it might be. And it's kind of like, okay, that's all fine and dandy if you want to insulate your children, but the real world does exist out there.
Yeah, and this story documents a couple of instances in the state of New Jersey, and in terms of the review of a coach, whether he was going to be rehired or not. And there was a question that was developed by the Board of Education in this one school district. And I just want to read the questions of this review, where they asked the student-athletes, during practice and or film sessions, have you ever observed or experienced any of the following behaviors from the head football coach or an assistant coach? Grabbing a player's face mask in an inappropriate way. If yes, please explain. Using inappropriate language such as cursing at players. If yes, please explain. Denying water breaks for players. If yes, please explain. Has the head coach or assistant coach ever made a player run sprints for punishment? If yes, please explain. Have you ever been intimidated by the said head coach or assistant coaches? If yes, please explain. So that's kind of a subjective review in terms of what's going on at a certain program, and you know, the how the school board reviews those answers. You know, if the kids that are supportive of the coach and their answers, and then those players that aren't supportive of the coach with the answers. I guess I don't know how you keep score with something like that. And again, that gets into how subjective these individual boards can be, because there's really, you know, no uniform process for rehiring coaches from district to district. And that's the thing, these gray areas that we get into with this subject.
Yeah, and I think one of the things is you get that political process where maybe parents don't care for a coach or a player is concerned about playing time, and that might bias his answer to that in that evaluation, and he might feel like this, that's his time to pay back. And I think about those people who maybe aren't good enough to start or aren't good enough to make a team or maybe aren't quite good enough to stay on the field all the time. There's two ways you can approach it in my book. You can use the political route and whine and maybe get your parents to do some influence, or you can do like that young man that didn't make the freshman basketball team that said, I wasn't quite good enough. And Michael Jordan went on to be pretty darn good at basketball when it was all said and done. And I think he said numerous times, probably the greatest thing ever was getting cut from his freshman basketball team because it caused him to say, never again.
Yeah, and again, I'm going to link this story so people can look at it. And there are many discussion points. You can agree with all of them, disagree with all of them, agree with some, disagree with some. That's kind of how I looked at it. There were some things I agreed to, some things I didn't agree to, but it's worthy to look at it and discuss some of these topics. But one of the things that I think they're pretty spot on in this story says the boom in youth sports and the proliferation of pay-to-play travel teams that afford kids a chance to start and play has given parents unrealistic expectations about how much playing time their sons deserve at the high school level. And the quote from a coach is, in this story is, high school coaches are the first ogres in a kid's life. Now, there's some truth to that.
Yeah, there are. And I remember I took a coaching class at Northern years ago with the legendary Dr. Walter Owens, and I remember him saying he was coaching football in Detroit, and every time a parent came in and asked about playing time, he would invite them to practice. He had a little tree that they hid behind, and they got to watch, and he said when they were finished, they never asked again about playing time, because they saw that the effort wasn't there on the practice field or that other kids were better, and they were, you know, unobserved, but they were able to observe themselves. And I just thought, what a neat way to address that situation. Of course, he was talking about the 60s and 70s, and we're in 2018.
Yeah, we're talking about a dramatic shift in culture change here, too. And one other thing I just want to highlight, this was from the chairman of the National High School Coaches Association. Robert Ferraro is his name. And I've had various coaches, not all of them, but there have been a few that have told me, and I think this rings so true, where some coaches have told me that some athletic directors no longer provide coaches as much support as they once did. And if that is the case in those situations, I'm not talking about every situation I've dealt with, but there have been some, that's when you know that coach isn't going to make it. And again, the other thing that the story hints at is a little bit about, you know, evaluating or looking at the opportunity to give coaches at the high school level multi-year contracts. And again, I'll link that story on our website. He's Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. I'm Jim Taylor at WRMJ Radio in Toledo. This is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio.